From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us today is Mary Farnsworth. She's the new acting regional forester. Mary, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be on.
So we said in our intro, you know, that this means as the acting regional forester for the Intermountain region that you are overseeing the management of more than 32 million acres of national forests and grasslands in six states with thousands of employees. We're curious to hear what is, you know, a little bit more about the role itself. What does the acting regional forester do kind of on the ground?
Well, great question. Boy, if I think about it too much, it kind of makes me nervous thinking about the billions of acres and all the employees. So it's a little bit of a challenge, but let me try to describe my role. So I do manage a tremendous number of employees who do a lot of the heavy work for the Forest Service on 12 national forests in the Intermountain region. And that region includes the southern part of Idaho, all of Nevada, western Wyoming, and all of Utah. So those 12 forests are scattered on that landscape. And there's one grassland as well, the Kulu National Grassland. So I manage those lands for the benefit of the American people. And it's a bit of a daunting task, but I set the goals and priorities for the region. If there's an area we need to lean into and take care of a little more than another, then I set those priorities and instruct my staff as to how we're going to manage those lands, how we're going to deliver those, in some cases, products, in some cases, experiences to the recreating public and to others who enjoy their national forests.
Well, we know that you bring a really deep history with the forest to this role. Tell us a little bit about your path to get to this regional forester position here in the Intermountain region.
Sure, happy to. So I am a lifelong Forest Service employee. And when I was 11, I went on a backpack trip with my family. And I determined on that trip that I wanted to be like the ranger I saw on the trail, in full uniform, proudly working, doing recreation work. And at that time, I said, I want to be kind of like that. And so I wanted to be a, quote, forest ranger for a long, long time. And so to that end, I went to school at Humboldt State University, greatest forestry school. I have to make a pitch there, but Humboldt State's a great forestry school. Right. I have a degree in forest management. And then I immediately went to work for the Forest Service. And I've been in various states working on different national forests. And I ended up for most of my career working in fire management. And I started early on fire crews. I was a hotshot crew member for a summer. I spent time on engines, on fire teams, and then I got to also work in the Washington office dealing with fire policy. So spent a good part of my career in fire. But then I went into kind of leadership positions with the Forest Service, the district ranger, which I desperately wanted to be when I grew up, and so got to be one of those in Idaho. And then also became a forest supervisor on the Idaho Panhandle National Forest in northern Idaho. And then it came here to Ogden, Utah as the deputy regional forester, and then now as acting regional forester. So I have about I haven't counted recently, 33 or 34 year career with the Forest Service. So I've seen a lot of work get done. I continue to be excited about that work, and I love working with the people that I get to work with.
I can imagine that working on a hotshot crew is just about as different as you can get from working in an office in D.C. on policy.
That is very true, very true. But I learned a ton working on crews about people, about teamwork, about what it takes to... really focus on your work, get things done, And why being a civil servant is very, very important and rewarding.
Well, you mentioned that you manage force management, fire management is one of your roles and responsibilities. Talk about some of the other management areas, whether it's recreational or conservation, et cetera.
Sure, happy to. And that's the other cool part about working with the Forest Service is we get to do so much different sorts of work. And so some of the priorities for the region, the Intermountain region, at this time is to really emphasize, strengthen, and plan more vigorously around recreation and our range programs. And let me talk about recreation just a little bit. In the past year or so with the virus, we've seen just a dramatic increase in the number of people going out and enjoying their national forests. And we've seen probably 400-500% increase in the number of people going out and about. And that's been quite the burden, but it's also thrilling at the same time seeing so many people enjoying the national forest. So recreation is a big thing of what we do. And going through the whole COVID experiences last year, very challenging with that much of an influx of folks on the forest. Our employees worked really hard early on to be able to continue to serve the public and make sure that the public was able to be safe. And then, of course, my priority continues to be the safety and well-being of our employees as they work with the public. And these are trying times with the virus. Happy to say that National Forests remained open during the COVID situation, and we had to modify some things, but folks were able to get out and about and enjoy the National Forest. Another area that we work on very heavily and matters to a lot of people is our timber management and our fuels programs. And that's really efforts to, number one, produce a product in a way with timber production. And we are responsible for delivering a certain level of timber material to create jobs, and it helps us in our ability to remove material from the forest. That's really important these days. We have timber production and then fuels management. They're similar. Both involve removing material from the landscape. We have forest health issues frequently, and by removing able to reduce the risk of catastrophic fire and sustain forest health. And we would choose to do that as we manage those 32 million acres. Timber production, it takes industry, and industry folks are a very big partner with us in removing those fuels so that we can reduce the threat of fire to communities and our water systems. So we work pretty heavy in that a timber arena, fuels management arena, and then range is another area that we have a lot of work happening right now, and that's around our producers, cattle producers, sheep producers, graze on National Forest System lands, and we're working on improving our administration of those programs as well. So there's a couple examples for you.
You know, as you talk about this, I was just thinking about the really incredibly wide range. Just extraordinarily wide range of kind of projects and priorities you're managing from industry and timber management and recreation and grazing to those natural resources concerns of water quality and invasive species and forest health. How do you set the priorities? What does that process look like?
Oh, great question. Well, I have a lot of staff that help me focus on where we need to lean in and where we need to do some work around various programs, and not everything can be a priority. And so as we look at something like the virus and about having a 500-time increase in number of visitors to the National Forest, priorities can be set around that. We're seeing an increase in something that we need to deal with, and so we begin to really frame up how are we going to respond recreation-wise to that influx of folks. whether it be infrastructure, bathrooms, the campgrounds. More people, more forest rangers, so to speak, in the woods helping people. Whatever that looks like, we need to do something. And so a priority like that is kind of set for us because of the impacts that we're seeing. When we talk about, say, our timber and fuels programs, those programs uniquely create jobs. And so oftentimes we speak to our partners, whether it be the Department of Natural Resources or our congressional folks, state legislators, and they would like to us to produce more jobs in rural communities. That's something right now that we're working on very vigorously. And so in responding to the general public and or their representatives, that also produces, a priority for us. So balancing all that out, everybody would like something from their national forest system lands. Somebody has to kind of weigh in and say, well, we need to lean this way or that way. That being said, each forest has a forest plan that denotes how they're going to manage that forest. But regionally, what we're going to lean into and focus our investment on, that's something that it's not an easy job, but we kind of have to weigh the pluses and minuses and balance citizens' needs and in what others would have us do. And so I would like to talk a little bit about shared stewardship because it kind of goes to that setting priorities. But before I do that, you have other questions for me?
Sure. Well, let me reintroduce you. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Mary Farnsworth, Acting Regional Forester for the Intermountain Region of the U.S. Forest Service. She covers the forest, 12 national forests in 5 states, including all of Utah.
Is it 6 states, Mary? 5 states? 6 states?
Are you challenging
it's
me?
It's a huge area. I am. So, Mary, just kind of building on what it was that you last said, you know, I'm curious about that citizen involvement or engagement. You know, what are the kind of opportunities for people to weigh in and say, hey, here's what's important to me, or here's what I love, or here's what I don't love to see?
Great question. There are so many ways for a citizen, to engage with the Forest Service. But the best way, I think, is to go to your local district office. We have ranger districts in many, many communities throughout the region and in Utah. There are 5 national forests in Utah, and each of them has between 3 and 5 ranger district offices as well. So we're scattered out. And so if you have an interest in something, the best way to engage is to either phone call. Certainly these days of the virus, phone calling is a good way to go, but also to visit our ranger district offices and engage with the staff there. They are local. They work and live in our small rural communities, and they know what's happening on the national forest most adjacent to where people might be living. And so that's a great way of engaging and saying, here's what matters to me, and here's what I'm interested in. What can you tell me? That's a great way. The other way is to talk to partners, and we have a tremendous amount of partners that we work with. And like I say, they all engage and help steer priorities, so to speak. The Department of Natural Resources with the state, we are heavily engaged with, and they do wonderful things, and we're engaged in setting some priorities on the work that we do with them. And so that's another way. And then our websites, we are often challenged with our social media. There's some government bureaucracy there, but we have some good informational websites that can help folks find out what they'd like to know about and then be able to have that conversation with their local ranger district.
So you mentioned this briefly before, but we did want to take some time to talk about these shared stewardship plans. So let's start with the basics. What is a shared stewardship plan with the Forest Service?
Well, we have agreements with all the states that we do business with and in the Intermountain region. So that's Nevada and a little sliver of California and Idaho, Wyoming, and then also Utah. I think I mentioned them all there. And so we have agreements, memorandum of understanding agreements signed by the governor of each state, and then generally the Secretary of Agriculture or the local regional foresters. Those agreements are just writing down our intent to work together, and to work together as we've really never worked together before, and we've always had shared interests of sorts, but we'd bump into each other every once in a while. We wouldn't necessarily really be working on things together. Shared stewardship is kind of a way of being, a way of acting, where we're working together with people and opening the doors, per se, to having conversations that we in the past have not had about people's desires and needs of the Forest Service. And by doing that, we are able to cross boundary lines in our work. And so, for example, working with the state of Utah, I'm really passionate about our agreements in Utah because they're just it's really changed the dynamic of us being able to work together. So we have an agreement with the governor and the Secretary of Agriculture signed an agreement. And within days after those high-level government officials signed the agreement, myself and the state forester, Brian Cottom, signed and wrote an action plan. And what that action plan did is it took the high level, we agreed to play together well, and it actually had work identified and how we were going to do that work, how we were going to share decision-making on things like actual fire management. And if we have a big fire, how do we work together in that? We need to do some fuels treatment work. And we have work to do on National Forest System land, but there's also state and or private lands that need work done too. And fire doesn't stop at the boundary. So how can we work together on the landscape at the right place, the right scale, to make a real difference in forests and rangeland health? And so it's about that. It's about working together. Recently, we've been having extensive discussions with water districts who are greatly impacted by fire, and our desire is to ensure we understand their interests and what we might do to treat National Forest System lands to prevent, to the extent possible, the risk of fire impacting that infrastructure and water delivery. So it's about working together. It's kind of that simple, and it's a shame that it took an agreement and a name like, quote, shared stewardship to get us there. But it is really, it has made it so that we have the opportunity to have much better dialogue about things that are important to, in Utah's case, Utah citizens.
Well, we have a listener texted a question about bark beetles and wants to know just generally, what is your thoughts on how bad, how complicated the bark beetle and other invasive species like that beetle are on our forest or the 12 forests that you're managing?
Well, bark beetles is one threat. We have many threats to national forest lands, and quite honestly, broadly, forest health is, I think, the secret to fending off things like bark beetles. The healthy forest is able to be more resilient and fend off big, I don't know what the right word is here, epidemics of bark beetles. We have beetles everywhere, but what we don't want to have happen is they get to be kind of an epidemic sort of thing. I don't think that's the right language, but for now I'll use that. And so by having a healthy forest, the trees are able to protect themselves far better. Drought is a problem that also affects things like the opportunity for beetles to expand. When a tree is stressed, it sends off distress signals, and those beetles know what trees are stressed. And so drought becomes an issue as well. So there's all sorts of things we can do to try to help manage the forest for forest health. And I think that's the secret here. Invasive weeds is another thing that we have a challenge with, and we continue to work that, especially with our partners, because invasive weeds don't know boundaries either. And so we're constantly trying to work with our partners to address those situations. But for me, as I think of it broadly, is the healthier forest we can have, the better off we can protect them from those invasives.
You know, it sounds like the shared stewardship forest plans are relatively new from the way that you've been talking about it. Is this a pretty unusual approach? Is it being used elsewhere in the country?
Great question. Yes, it's absolutely being used across the country, and it's many, many states have these agreements. I'm not sure how many states now, but many, many, especially across the West. East has them as well. It is very, it is new, and it's an approach that kind of took off because I think we were in a time that everybody began realizing that none of us have all of the resources to do all the work that needs to be done. By working together and through these agreements, I mean, you could work together without an agreement, but these agreements just allowed us to have the initial conversations. But it takes all of us to pay attention to the work that needs to be done. It's like fire. Everybody, no one agency or entity can deal with a fire situation alone. We have to band together. And we have to strategically plan together. We need to be planning at the right scope and scale, at the right place, and that defies boundaries. And so it is being used throughout the West, to the East as well. And each shared stewardship agreement is a little different. Our agreement here in Utah really focuses on the threat of fire to communities and water systems. There are other agreements that really focus on recreation and what we can do together to enhance recreational opportunities for the general public. There's other agreements that really focus on wildlife and the ability for us to enhance wildlife across boundaries. So that's the beauty of shared stewardship, is it's our partners who have an interest, and we have an interest, and we're able to get together and do far more together than we were able to do separately.
As you talk about these partners, I'm wondering who they might be. Is that groups like, watershed committees or cooperative weed management areas, or is that more like municipalities and entities like that?
Yeah, so let me talk about that a little bit. Shared stewardship, our shared stewardship agreement is uniquely with the state of Utah and the state of Idaho and the state of Nevada. And so that's the initial starting point. But when I talk about partners, it is far-reaching, very far-reaching. Like I said, we've been having conversations with water districts and other agencies, other federal agencies, other state agencies, non-government organizations who have an interest in what we do, and the general public. Oftentimes I worry that we deal with entities versus the general public, and it's very important to me that everyone has a voice in land management with the Forest Service. But it's very far-reaching. We have just hundreds and hundreds of partners. And so it depends on the issue that folks want to talk about as to which partners are engaged. And so that's where the general public, if they'd like to engage with the Forest Service in some way, talking to the local ranger district and finding out that way of engaging with us is really important, because we're engaging with everybody.
Does that include indigenous tribes as well?
Oh, yes. Okay. We have a government-to-government responsibility to work with tribes, and they, as you well know, are very important in this geographic area. We have a tremendous number of tribes that we work with and consult with at a local level all the time.
So, Mary, as you look forward, you know, as you look into your crystal ball here for the next, field season or two, do you continue to see recreation being one of the top challenges? And what other priority areas or needs do you see popping up?
Oh, yes. I would say recreation is probably the one we need to lean into the most because of the expansion of and I guess kind of what's something that's come out of the virus and COVID is that folks are recreating more on National Forest System lands, and so they're seeing the beauty and the benefits of that landscape. And so I don't expect for us to decrease the amount of people coming to visit us. So we're going to have to figure some things out about infrastructure. And one of the really cool things that's happened relatively recently is the Great American Outdoors Act. And that is an act recently signed by Congress that is bringing to bear a significant amount of investment to deal with maintenance issues on national parks, national forests, and with the BLM. And we're really excited about that because it's bringing financial resources to bear. In 2021, I think somewhere around $28, $29 million is going to go towards recreational infrastructure improvements that have degraded over time. It takes money to have a campground and to maintain water systems and toilet facilities and all those sorts of things. And so this Great American Outdoors Act is very much going to help us with that. So recreation is a big thing, and it's something we're going to have to lean into. With this new influx of funding, we're going to have to prioritize where that funding goes to benefit the most number of people. And so that'll be a little challenge, but we're happy to have that issue of dealing with where we're going to put some money, because money has been short in dealing with recreation in the past. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well, Mary, it's about time for us to wrap up this morning. Where would you recommend that listeners go if they want to learn more, or if they want to engage with the Forest Service?
Well, we do have a website. It's easy to Google. And I would also steer folks who are interested, and we were only able to gloss on shared stewardship a little bit, but folks who are interested in our partnering around shared stewardship and work being done on National Forest System lands, I would share that the Utah Shared Stewardship website has a tremendous amount of information about that. So that's easy to Google as well.
You know, it does, and I checked it out, and I loved the interactive map with the priority areas. So I highly recommend that to anybody that's interested in hopping on and learning a little more. Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning, and we're excited to have you on here in the Intermountain region as our new forester.
Great. Thanks so much for your time and for the excellent questions. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.